Our second reading of Scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. Let us listen again for God's word to us this day. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would grow and sprout. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use? It's like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. When it is sown, it grows. It grows up, and it becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This too is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fill us. Use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Jesus is sitting in a fishing boat with his friends. A fishing boat. He's rocking back and forth in the gentle waves of the sea. He's reclined, most likely. He's telling them stories about what the kingdom of God is like. The stories are simple, and he draws on what he knows: seeds and soil, grains and shrubs. He's painting a picture for them, a picture of the vast mystery of God. And from time to time, I think, that he lets his hand maybe fall over the side of the boat and dip into the water. He pauses and stares out at the place where the heavens dip down into the sea. And with his words, with his parables, he opens for them a basket full of treasure, a treasure that is held in their very hearts. It's no easy task to draw the minds of humans up into the mystery of God. I mean, have you ever tried to explain to somebody what the kingdom of God is? It's like describing inner peace, or world harmony, or cheese grits. But Jesus makes it seem as simple as just scattering some seeds on the ground and then calling it a day, without fear that they won't get it, without anxiously explaining every little detail and making sure that everyone is on the same page. Jesus just tosses these stories out there and then trusts that the parables themselves will do the work. Slowly. Over maybe even a lifetime. Really, it's so empowering. So trusting of us, the hearers. I've grown so accustomed to having experts and journalists and bloggers and online communities tell me every single detail of whatever the current crisis of the day is, and how I'm supposed to feel about it and what the right way of believing something is, that it's such a gift to have Jesus just tell me a story and then give it time to grow, give it time to work, give me time to work out the story. Or better yet, give the parable some time to work on me. It's such a good feeling to know that our Lord Jesus thinks that we have within us all that is needed to receive this seed of a story and then have it grow into a life of faith. I wanted to start my sermon the same way as him. The kingdom of God is as if. But then as I racked my brain to come up with what the kingdom of God is like, I kept coming up short. I think I have it, but then when I went to put it on paper, it would sound too cliche or too silly or maybe even too stuffy. So I prayed to the Holy Spirit about it, and I asked her, Holy Spirit, I'm trying to write this sermon on these two parables of Jesus. Can you help me come up with an opening illustration that will draw everyone in? Maybe even make them chuckle? Holy Spirit, to what can I compare the kingdom of God? In her humor, because the Holy Spirit is often very funny, she came to me in Melinda Sandcam. She had just picked up the new Mission Camp t-shirts. And they are yellow this year, in case you were wondering. Yellow means caution. Slow down. And you know what those t-shirts say on the back of them? You've seen them. What do they say on the back of them? What do those t-shirts say? Somebody? It's not all about me. It's not all about me. The Holy Spirit came and said, caution. Slow down, preacher. It's not all about you. Jesus just told two stories about the kingdom of God. Why don't you start there? Unless you truly think you can improve upon those? Well, I was a bit embarrassed. I said, no, Spirit, I don't think that I could come up with something better than our Lord. And then I thanked her for her help. The really funny thing about it is that I became a parable myself. You see, the seeds for understanding the kingdom of God, they've already been planted. They've already been planted in Jesus' holy word. We just need to sit with those stories, spend some time with God's word, and let that do the work within us. There's no need to try and plant some of my new and improved genetically modified seeds on top of the organic, native seeds that God has already planted in us through these holy words. The kingdom of God is as if someone just started scattering seeds on the ground with no regard for where they fell, no concern of the soil type or the weeds or even really tilling the earth, just scattering them. And then didn't bother to cover them up with earth or fertilize them or even water them, rather just walked away and went to bed. And then the soil, the earth, stirs. And in the Greek, Jesus says, automate. It's where we get the English word, automatically. Automate, the earth brings forth fruit of herself. Something within the earth, perhaps the Spirit herself, turns those seeds into a fruitful harvest for when the seed scatterer returns. This is what the kingdom of God is like. I wonder if you've noticed any of those seeds in your own life. Are there places where Jesus has planted some Bible story or some experience or some glimpse, even if it's just faint, of the kingdom of God? Perhaps that is the seed deep inside of you that the Spirit is stirring. Perhaps that is the seed that you've recently felt maybe starting to sprout into something in your life. Or maybe that is the seed you've felt drying up or withering, to which you might pay some special attention. Where have the seeds of Christ landed in your life? They are there, but we just need to start looking for their little green shoots poking through the soil. 16th century mystic Indian poet Kabir writes, "The guest is inside you, and also inside me. You know the sprout is hidden inside the seed. We are all struggling. None of us has gone far. Let your arrogance go and look around inside." The psalm that we read together in the call to worship says, "The people of God still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap." Jesus said, "The earth produces of herself first the stalk, then the head, and then the full grain." Through the prophet Isaiah, God says, "See, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" Alas, we are all struggling. None of us has gone very far. But thanks be to God that the seeds are scattered among and within us. Just look around. Look around inside. Look around past yourself. Behold, God is working wonders. We might take some time to notice and enjoy. To what can I compare the kingdom of God? I know it's kind of hard to get at it head on. Maybe you like a good, sound, scholarly doctrine in your sermon and not a bunch of shifting parable. Well, I'll throw you a bone. Jesus is the doctrine and the parable. It's called realized eschatology, though through his life, his death, God incarnate is resurrected, and the reign of God is now realized among us, a present reality here and now. So, what parable will we use for it? A mustard seed. Sure, when you toss it on the ground, as our seed sower is wont to do all willy-nilly-like, it looks pretty tiny. You probably won't even be able to see it, but when it grows, it becomes one of the most majestic tree... No. Wait, I take that back. Mark says it becomes one of the shrubbiest shrubs. The perfect place to build a nest and settle in. I realized that I didn't know a lot about mustard plants. I bet some of you do. I'm sure some of you in your travels have seen them growing wild. I had to go to the Journal of Natural History, and what I was surprised to learn is that a mustard seed is not like the great cedar, which Ezekiel compares God's reign to in the text that Erickson read for us earlier. Wild mustard is an expansive shrub that will take over. It germinates rapidly and is hardy and intrusive. Ezekiel says, "God will plant on the high mountain a noble cedar that will grow tall And under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. Jesus says, no. The kingdom of God is not like a noble, big, steepled cedar. It is like a mustard shrub. To put this parable into terms that we might relate to here in Atlanta, the kingdom of God is like kudzu. Some of you saw that coming. You might imagine the kingdom of God to be like the indigenous, mighty southern live oak, our state tree, tall and broad, a beacon of light for all of the sad and desperate underbrush. But really, it's a lot like kudzu, which wraps itself around the live oak, and it will never let go. It's not glamorous and flashy. It's intrusive and subversive and disruptive. It sneaks in when you're not expecting it, and it creeps around, and it climbs into your heart and into your mind, and it takes over your life. You know, Beth Baer and John Watson and Lester Morris were here, was that last weekend? Clearing away some English ivy that had crept over from the neighbors into the church property. And we want to thank you for this hard work. You know what happens if the seed of the kingdom of God creeps onto your church property? It takes over. It might even look undesirable. It fills up the pews and it climbs to the highest point of the steeple where all of the neighbors can see it. It provokes the call from the HOA president, can you get rid of it? And the more you chop it, the faster it spreads. This is the kingdom of God. My friend Peter Hobby, a lot of you know him, he once told me a story about a man from up north who was visiting some friends. They took him out to a farm. The farmer showed the gentleman all around, took him to see the rows of cotton and peanuts, showed him his new hen house, and finally took him down to a pond near the woods. The man noticed the trees there at the edge of the wood were covered by a thick blanket of vines. He was mesmerized by the way the broad leaves moved in the breeze like waves across the treetops. In amazement, the man asked the farmer what it was. It's kudzu. It's incredible, the man said. How do you grow it? He was thinking he might take a little bit and maybe plant it along the side of his fence at home. Well, the farmer explained, it's very delicate. First, you need to get a little clipping of it and make sure you cut the little stem at an angle. And quickly, but carefully, wrap it in a damp cloth, not soaking, just damp. Put it in a little Ziploc bag. Make sure that the cloth doesn't dry out, and you keep it damp. And when you get it home, you know, find a little place for it. Take it out carefully, throw the stuff away, maybe spritz the leaves, get it perked up. And then, when you're ready, drop it and run like hell. The beloved community of God is hardy and intrusive. It spreads within us. It spreads beyond us. And by the grace of God, it will take over. No matter how much we ignore it, or try to tame it, or pretty it up, or cut it back. To what can we compare the kingdom of God? It's like an amazing gift that's already been given to us. It's all around us. It creeps out of the pages of your Bible, and it's in the prayers that you offer up to God. To what can we compare the kingdom of God. It's like a hardy, sturdy, tough, stubborn little church filled with the most welcoming and generous people that you can meet, sprouting up from seeds planted along Morningside Drive probably 60 years ago. And now it's firmly planted and has creeping, shrubby branches that are reaching all around the city, that they crawl into homeless shelters and into food pantries, into children's hospitals and into nursing homes, even into the halls of the state capitol. Branches that reach around the entire world. Large branches that have become a home to homeless. A resting place for transient college students passing through who just needed a place to rest and receive some hospitality. For folks who don't stay forever, but who just need a little bit of the healing love of this place for a time. It's hardy and at times intrusive, but it strives to be authentic and always welcoming. It's subversive and disruptive when truth must be spoken to power and the vulnerable must be protected, but it's also nurturing and safe. Parents have made nests for their children and youth in the safety of its branches. And now those youth, they fly out into the world carrying the seeds of faith that they were fed and the comfort and the shade of this place. Seeds which they will now share with God's beloved in New Orleans. To what can I compare the kingdom of God? Pick up the Bible in the pew in front of you. Pick it up. Take it in your hands. See how that feels. The kingdom of God is like ancient texts, which God still uses to speak to us and to heal us and to train us. The kingdom of God is in your hands. To what can I compare the kingdom of God? Well, look around. Look around at the people who are sitting with you in these pews. The kingdom of God is among you, and you are among the kingdom of God. To what can I compare the kingdom of God? Take a deep breath. The kingdom of God is within you. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.